Do you ever get excited about going on a vacation? So excited that maybe you lose sleep the night before? Now, I can do that with hunting or fishing. Maybe you can do it with golfing or shopping. Did you ever get excited about going to Grandma's house when you were young? That kind of excitement, I believe, is what we need to have when it comes time for worship. We're going to talk about the beauty of worshiping God. And I appreciate the song service so much because I know that it centered my mind upon our Savior, upon our Creator, upon the wonderful things that they have done. Did you ever hear a child ask, however, his parents this question? It was Sunday morning and they said, "Mommy, do we have to go to church today?" What kind of attitude is that? And how can we displace it? Our text for this morning comes from Psalms 122, which Brother Richard read for us, first few verses of it. The psalmist says in Psalms 122, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go up to the house of the Lord.' Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Now, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I know of some people that I don't find them especially attractive, but their mates do. There's something there. I used to have an ag teacher that was ugly as a mud fence. He had one of the prettiest wives you'd ever seen. He had lips that pooched out. He had almost a nose that didn't belong with his face. His ears stuck out like this. His eyes were too narrow. But he had the biggest smile of any man I ever knew. He even had a name that went along with that face. His last name was Grubbs. And I thought, how did a man like that marry such a pretty woman like that? This fellow was trying to impress his girlfriend. He wasn't very good with words. And so he went to his friend, who was a little more eloquent, and he says, "I want you to tell me something that I can say to my girlfriend that'll let her know that I just think she's gorgeous and that I love her so." And so his friend thought a minute, and he said, "Okay." He said, "Next time you see her, say these words to her. Say, 'When I look into your face, time just stands still.'" He said, "Okay, I can handle that." So next time he got with his girlfriend, he said, "Your face could stop a clock." Now, he was trying to tell her that to him she was beautiful, but it didn't quite relate like that. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Now, me getting up at 4 a.m. to go hunting makes perfect sense. It makes no sense at all to my wife. She doesn't understand losing sleep over something like that. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Is it a beauty to you to worship God? What is your view of coming to the assembly? Is it a privilege? Is it a pleasure? As a child, I don't ever remember asking my parents the question, "Do we have to go to church today?" We knew we were going. We didn't have a choice. We didn't have to ask, "Are we going to Bible class on Wednesday night?" Or if there was a gospel meeting in town, "Are we going tonight to the gospel?" We just knew we were always going to be there. That's what you did if you were a Sykes, period. In fact, Mom had the clock set up 15 minutes ahead of time. Every clock in the house showed 15 minutes ahead of what the schedule. I thought Peter Jennings came on at 5:15 at night rather than 5:30. Everything was ahead. We were still late. I don't know how we managed, but we were still late. The psalmist says, "I was glad." I believe Richard's version said, "I rejoiced whenever they said to me, 'Let us go up into the house of God.'" What is it about God that should help us to understand that worshiping Him is a privilege? Well, we want to look at two other passages today. The first one we want to go to is an Old Testament prophet, the prophet Zechariah, chapter 8. Last week we talked about the Ten Commandments, how that they are the Old Covenant and we are now under the New. And in this particular prophecy, God is promising that the day will come when all men will want to worship Him. At least that's all men that have a true heart. This is Zechariah chapter 8, beginning with verse 20. Why should we think God is beautiful and the worship of Him is a privilege? Because God gives only the very best. Beginning with verse 20, Zechariah chapter 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, peoples shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. God was promising something there to His people. Now we know where the Jews centered their religion, and it was in Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. That's where they came to offer sacrifices. That's where the high priest went into the holiest of holies on the Day of Atonement. That was the Mecca for the Jews, Jerusalem. But it didn't draw other peoples like that, unless, of course, they converted to Judaism. It drew the Jews to Jerusalem. God says, though, here in Zechariah, there's going to come a day when what I have given to my people will be evident to all the nations. There will be those of the Gentile persuasion that will come to a Jew. In fact, he pictures 10 men grabbing hold of one Jew's skirt and saying to him, let us go with you to the house of Jehovah. Let us go and exalt Jehovah with you, because we have heard, we know that the Lord is with you and blesses you. I want to worship Jehovah. What a beautiful thought. Wouldn't it be nice if you were greeted that way as you drove from your house to the building today? Your neighbor came out and flagged you down and said, I see you're headed off again. It's Sunday morning. You keep going every Sunday. I see you go by. Could I climb in the car and go with you today? Wouldn't that be something? Are you sometimes astounded at the excitement that the unbeliever who recently is converted has for worshiping God? The sincerity with which they offer up their praise and their prayers. Sometimes I am ashamed of myself when I see the depth of longing that those who have come to know God but for a little while have in response to God's glory. What is my response to God's gift? Is it like what this writer said in verse 21, as they were saying, let us go up, he says, I will go. I will go also. I hope and pray that I can come to believe and persuade myself more each day that the worshiping of God is a beautiful experience. I don't know about you, but singing songs of praise to God thrills my heart. To be able to sing like we did today, even some newer songs, to understand that in those praises I am proclaiming to God, you are the Almighty. You are my Savior. Does it touch you to pray? To know what God has provided for us by way of communication with Him? To study His Word? To relive His sacrifice? To participate in His supper? What does it mean to you to worship God? Do you find yourself checking your watch? Can you not wait to leave? Is it just sitting next to somebody that you barely know? Or is it an experience of communion with God the Father? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. If I have to go to worship, it's because my eye is not seeing clearly what all God has done for me. I don't know that we appreciate how simple God has made worship. What could He have demanded of us? What He demanded of them in the old times? Going to Jerusalem, offering sacrifices, going through a high priest for atonement. Look at what God allows us to do. We sit in comfort, free from the elements, in a well-lighted auditorium next to people that love us and that we know. Even if we're from out of town, we know we've got brothers and sisters in Christ meeting in this place. And God has simply said, come together and honor my Son. Celebrate his body and his blood. Sing praises to my name. Commune with me and tell me what's on your heart. And study from my word those things that I've written down. And get your priorities straight for the coming week. How much simpler could it be? Has God made it too easy? That it's lost its beauty? I don't think so. But it's in the eye of the beholder. It's my heart's condition as I approach God. Am I in tune with what He has done? Can I say along with the psalmist, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Can I visualize having such an ache and such a hunger to worship God that if I didn't know where the Christians met and one day I finally learned that I would take hold of the skirt of a man or the arm or the coat of a man and say, I have finally found that you have the truth. Let me come worship with you. Let's turn to our final passage for this morning in the New Testament. Let's go once again to the book of Hebrews. We looked there last week in the comparison between the old law and the new and how that we have come to the glorious Mount Zion, not covered with clouds and threatening lightning and thunder, but to a glorious place where the firstborn are gathered, where Jesus is. Hebrews chapter 10 is what we want to read this morning. Beginning with verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you hear the promise? Do you hear the privilege? The Hebrew writer is coming from a mentality that says, don't you remember how tough it was to worship God back then? Look what a glorious gift He has given to us. Nothing but the best. Through the blood of His Son being sprinkled upon our hearts, through His flesh, the curtain has been rent. We have been allowed to come to God and worship. How can we make light of that? How can we not take advantage of that? How can we turn to God and say, do I have to? Focus. Think again. Renew your hearts. Draw near with full assurance. Don't you neglect to come and encourage all your brethren and sisters to be here as well. Because it is in this that God lives. To sing. To pray. To study. To partake. To anticipate heaven above. The world is too much with us late and soon. Getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. We get too wrapped up. We get too absorbed. We get to thinking about the game. It's going to be played later. We get to be thinking about what we did last night. Maybe we're tired today. We're thinking about the work that is coming up this next week. We're thinking about everything but what we need to center our minds upon. There is beauty and worshiping God. And your presence here encourages me, as I hope my presence does for you. The beauty of worshiping God is that He has made it so simple and so easy to honor Him and to glorify Him, to learn from Him, to study His Word. Let us consider. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and my God is an awesome God. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I love Him so. God, isn't He? He's a God that's given everything for you and for me, sacrificing Himself upon the cross, suffering unbearable pain, as was mentioned in the prayer, so that I might commune, so that I might be reconciled, so that you might become His own. If you're not a child of God, it's not God's fault. If worshiping Him, your Heavenly Father, is not beautiful to Him, to you, it's not God's fault. He has given us every reason to be glad when they say, "Let us go up into the house of the Lord." If you're not yet a member of His house, have not yet been baptized into His blood, receiving forgiveness of sins through His Son, or if you've wandered away, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?